Get you a pen ready or a pencil or a writing utensil. You're about to have a test. I don't want you to get too nervous because I'm not going to make you pass these in. And we're not going to, don't worry, because we're not even going to trade papers and grade these. So this is just for your own benefit. All right, get you a writing utensil. Does anyone need a writing utensil? If you would, raise your hand. Maybe somebody around you might be able to help them. I think there's a couple pens, Matthew, on the back table by on the other side of that little box. Maybe you could give to somebody. Yes. Okay. All right. Does anybody still need a pen? I got a couple here. Come and help. Anyone else? Mm-hmm. Raise your hand right back there in the back, Mike. One more. Anybody else got another one? Who's got a spare pen or pencil? I'll pay you for it when we're done. Okay, here's a pencil and a right over here. Brother Nathan, would you help them out and bring one right to the back there? They need one right in the back. Right to your left. There you go, right in the back. All right, now I'm going to give you some questions, and all you have to do is write down the answers, and I want you to number your answers. That would mean you'd write down number one and then write down the answers to these as we go through here. We'll start out with a very easy question. I'd like you to write down your name. Try to spell it correctly. Number two, write down your birthday. Number three, write down your address. Include street, city, state, zip code. All right, number four, write down your phone number. Include the area code. No cheating now, Ms. Gordon. Look on your own paper. She said, what's our phone number? Well, I didn't exactly hear what she said. All right, number five. Write down your kids' names. If your parents, write down your kids' names. If you're not parents, you can just write down number five and leave that one blank. Number six, if you're married, write down your spouse's name. You may also leave that one blank if you're not married. Unless you want to write down a hopeful, that's up to you. Number seven, everybody can do number seven, write down your parents' names. You should have about two of them. Number eight, write down your grandparents' names. Well, just whatever you call them, you know, whatever you call them. They still got names. No, right? Write down. Nobody raised their hand to ask a question. No, come on. All right. Write down your grandparents' names. Whatever you call them. Grandpa, so-and-so, grandma, so-and-so, papaw, mamma. If you're really stuck, write down grandpa, grandma, something like that. All right. Write down what kind of car you drive. Now, kids, you might want to write down what kind of car you want to drive someday. Or kids, if you know, write down what kind of car your parents drive. Then number 10, write down what color your car is. Number 11, write down what color your house is. If you live in an apartment, what color your apartment is, your apartment building. or interior. You can make your choice, just as long as you know what it is, which one you're doing. Now, number 12, I want you to write down two things. Why don't you write down some important dates that you remember throughout the year? For example, write down, I already mentioned your birthday, so I just use that as an example. But write down maybe somebody else's birthday. Write down the event, the name of the event, and the date on which that event occurs. There's some important dates that you remember throughout the year. Would you write that down? And just take a moment or so and let you write down, well, one, two, three, whatever, however many you get in the time that we give you. Some important dates that you remember throughout the year. If you cannot think of anything, you could write down August 16th, pastor's birthday. All right, number 13. I want you to, I read and get this one out. If you had an emergency, I mean a surefire emergency, a fire, you had to call the police or something, write down the phone number that you would call. Everybody ought to be writing out, you know, this is not just for, this is not just for the weird people in the church, you know. And parents, I'll tell you something, some of your kids ain't writing, they should be. Maybe you ought to have them where you could watch them, make sure they behave in church. I say this because I take this stuff seriously. All right? I'm not. This may be a little light and fun, but I got other things I do in my life and can do in my life. I'm here to preach to you and to help you, and you could be helped, and you ought to try some of this stuff. All right, number 14. Write down this. What is the 49th and 50th state? The 49th and 50th state. I didn't see anybody raise their hand to ask a question. Hurry up now. I got to preach to you. 49th, 50th. Number 15. Write down some other important phone numbers that you call, the person and the numbers. Some other important phone numbers that you call besides your own. The name of the person and the phone numbers. Write them down quick. Oh, I lost my pen. All right, then very quickly, on number 16, I would like you to write down, if you can, the words to one of these little songs, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. If you can write that down, start writing it now. If you can't write down that, maybe you could write down the words to I'm a Little Teapot. If you don't know the words to that, look on Mrs. Sandstrom's paper. She knows that one. If you can't think of any of those, write down the words to another childhood song that you like. As many as you can, very quickly. And then finally, write down some of the words to a Christian song that you like. On number 17, some of the words to a Christian song that you like. All right, now hold those papers there, and I want you to take your Bibles and open up to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, look with me in verse number 9. Psalm 119, verse number 9. Psalm 119, verse number 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hidden mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Let's pray. Father, I pray for your help upon this message today. God, may the devil not distract us from the important things that you've got. May you even encompass my own mind that I might concentrate on the message you've given me to help these thy people. I know this is a very important time. I know that you've got something that can help somebody in these next few moments, and I pray that you would help me to be able to deliver this the way it ought to be delivered. In Jesus' name, amen. In the next few minutes or so, your life could be changed. I mean, in the next few minutes or so, your life could be really, literally, truly changed. I'm going to bring you a message that will be as plain as any message that you'll ever hear from the Bible. While I'm speaking to you, I will leave you no doubt as to what I'm talking to you about when I get into the message. When I'm finished, there will be no doubt as to what I have spoken about. And when I'm finished, there will be no doubt as to what you need to do about what you've heard. That is, you'll know what I said. When I've said it, you'll know what you're supposed to do about it. It'll be plain. It'll be clear. And when I'm finished, there'll be no doubt as to what you ought to do about the message that you've just heard. I want to talk to you about something that changed my life almost 18 years ago. Now, I'm not talking about salvation, although salvation did change my life almost 18 years ago. And I just want to say this, if you're here today and you're not saved, you don't know that you're on your way to heaven, you ought to get saved. You ought to get that thing settled. You ought to be able to sing with us, I'm saved, 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 and that you're on your way to heaven. You ought to be able to sing that. And if you can't sing it from your heart because it's not true, then before you leave today, you ought to come and you ought to get saved. We have the invitation time. You ought to be the first one down the aisle to say, I want to get saved. I want Jesus as my Savior. You ought not wait. You ought not put it off. You don't know how long you've got. You ought to take care of it now. You ought to take care of it today. Not put it off at all. But I want to talk to you about something that changed my life about 18 years ago. I want to talk to you about something that can benefit you in literally, I mean literally, every area of your life. I mean, if you're weak, it'll help to make you strong. If you're prone to depression, it'll help to keep you encouraged. If you have no direction in life, this will give you direction and help to give you direction. If you have no motivation, what I'm telling you to do is going to will help you to keep motivated. I mean, it'll help you in your prayer life. It'll help to increase your faith. It'll help you in school. It'll help you on the job, what I'm about to talk to you about. It will help you in the area of having discipline. It'll help you to have Christian character. If you're a preacher, it'll help give you power in preaching. If you preach in the street, it'll help to give you power in your street preaching. If you're a soul winner or aspire to be one, it'll help you in your soul winning. What I'm about to tell you about will help you in your parenting, if you're a parent. What I'm about to tell you about will help you get victory over sin. What I'm going to tell you about will help you to get victory over weights in your life and over weaknesses that you have. It will help you to obey the Word of God. It will help you to if you're filled in your life with sorrow, it'll help you to be filled with joy and give you joy. What I'm about to tell you about can improve literally your physical health, your mental health, and your spiritual health. Now, if you can use some or all of those benefits, then you want to take good heed and listen real close to what I'm about to talk to you about, because this can change your life. And when I'm finished, don't just be a hearer of the word, but be a doer. Put into practice what I'm about to tell you. I want to talk to you this morning about what changed my life, a thing that changed my life about 18 years ago, and that is memorizing Scripture. I'm going to talk to you very plainly, very clearly, very pointedly, very specifically about memorizing Scripture. I'm not talking to you about me memorizing Scripture. I've applied this to my life, but I'll preach to me. But I'm talking to you about you memorizing Scripture. I'm not going to be talking to you about somebody else memorizing Scripture. I'm going to be talking to you about you memorizing Scripture. Oh, but you say, I'm too little. Hey, if you can think and talk, you can memorize Scripture. You say, I'm too old. If you can think and talk, you can memorize Scripture. Sometimes, matter of fact, even if you can't talk, you can still probably memorize Scripture. But you can do it. I'm looking out here right now. I'm trying to see who's in this room. And I believe everybody in this room that I see right now has the ability to memorize Scripture. You could do it. You could memorize a Bible verse. A child that can talk can begin to memorize Scripture. Parents, every parent, we know the first verse that every parent teaches their child to memorize. It's Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents. If they don't give them the whole verse, they at least give them that part. Children, obey your parents. and a little child can memorize that Bible verse. But I want to tell you about memorizing Scripture and how it'll help you and how you can do it, and then I hope that you'll do it because your life can be changed, literally, if you'll take heed to what I'm about to tell you. When I got saved, I was a hungry young man. I mean, I was spiritually hungry. I asked my pastor what I should do now. I mean, I'm saved. All right, I'm ready. What do I do now? He told me, among many things that he told me, there's two things that kind of rise close to the top. He told me two things, among many other things. One thing he told me was, memorize the books of the Bible, the names of the books of the Bible. And so I did. And then he told me to memorize Scripture. I took them seriously in both admonitions. I memorized the names of the books of the Bible. I mean, I went Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Jude, and Revelation. And so I memorized those things. He said that was one of the things that helped him. I can't say them as fast as my wife can say them. If you were here and saw that demonstration, that runoff between her and Adam after vacation Bible school last summer. But I memorized those things, and I got them down. He said, that'll help you. He says one of the things that helped him the most in his Christian life was memorizing the names of the books of the Bible. Why does that help? That helps you to keep up when we're studying, for example. We say, all right, 2 Timothy. Well, you know where to go. You know where it's at. It helps you to know where things are at in the Scriptures, which just happens to be the most important collection of writings on the face of this earth. It helps you know how to find your way around the Bible, which just happens to be the most important book upon the face of this earth. I mean, some of you know how to get around your telephone book better than you know how to get around the Bible. You ought to learn the books of the Bible. I mean, if you've been saved for years and you don't know the books of the Bible, I got something to say to you. Shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on you. We got kids in this church that can quote the books of the Bible and parents that can't. I'd be ashamed, Mom and Dad. I'd be ashamed if my kid could rattle off the books of the Bible and tell me them in order, and I couldn't do it myself. I'd be on this altar repenting, asking God to forgive me, and I would set out this afternoon to start memorizing the books of the Bible. I said, well, I ain't got time this afternoon. I've got too many things to do. Yeah, like reading the Sunday newspaper, like reading the comics, and going through the television section of what's going to be on this week so you can program your VCR. Hallelujah, we're having fun now, ain't we? Listen, you couldn't learn those books of the Bible if you just work at it, you lazy spiritual bum, you. You say, well, I'm saved and on my way to heaven. Help, I'm glad you are. I'll see you up there. But I'd hate to have to wait to heaven to learn the names of the books of the Bible in order. Anyway, that's not what I was going to preach about this morning, but that's one thing that you need. But also he told me to memorize Scriptures, and so I did. He told me how to memorize them. And showed me a plan. I began to memorize Scripture. I know Scripture today that I can quote where it's at, and I can quote them word for word that I learned almost 18 years ago when I set out just as a young Christian to memorize Scripture. I memorized Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I memorized Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. I memorized Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And I set out to do it. I memorized it. I memorized the address of the Scriptures. I memorized what the Scriptures said, and I memorized it word for word by the grace of God. And I worked at it. I want you to look at the Bible, Psalm 119, verse number 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? All right, we got any young men in this room? Let me see your hands. All right? If you're a young man and your hands are up, you're going to make me wonder what you are. Raise them up, young men. All the way up. Let me see. All right. Now, you want to cleanse your way? We got any young ladies? All the ladies raise your hands now. Yeah, look at all those nice young ladies. Would you like to cleanse your way in life? I mean, would you like to get cleaned up a little bit, have victory, see God do something in your life? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? God will tell you how to clean up your act and clean up your life by taking heed thereto according to thy word. That's how. Then he says, with my whole heart. Maybe that's the problem. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Have you sought him with your whole heart? Then down verse number 11, he said, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. You know, getting the Bible in your heart will help to keep you from sinning against God. Somebody today, you got a problem with the sin. I'll tell you what you ought to do. You ought to find a verse that deals with that sin and memorize it. You ought to find a verse that deals with the sin and memorize the verse. And that will help to keep you back from that sin. God has an answer for every problem you've got. When Jesus faced temptation, he pulled out the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and he defeated the devil by the power of God through the sword of the Spirit. By the way, when Jesus pulled out the Word of God, I mean, you don't read about him pulling out a bunch of his Hebrew scriptures and rustling through them and say, now, I know there's help in here somewhere. Where is it at? Here it is. If you're fasting for 40 days, on the mountain, the devil's tempting you, turn to this verse. All right, let's see if I can find it. Good night, the devil would have whipped him by that time. What did he do? By memory, he pulled out the sword of the Spirit, and he preached the word to him and brought it out and wielded that sword. Oh, you say, oh, but Jesus was God in the flesh. It was easy for him to do it. You know, though he was God in the flesh, he still had to learn like you and me had to learn. The Bible says that he increased in wisdom and stature and knowledge. He learned. He studied. He worked at it. And he pulled it out by memory, the sword of the Spirit, and won the victory over Satan when he tempted him. Three times the devil tempted him at the end of his fast. Three times he pulled out the sword of the Spirit and won the battle. I'm telling you something that will help you to win the victory over sin. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. That's what he did. He hid the word of God in his heart so that he would not sin against the Lord. Now, if you want to avoid sinning against God and get victory over sinning against God, you can do so by getting God's word hid in your heart. That's what he said. Somebody said, the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. Now, what's it going to be in your life? Are you going to let your sin keep you from the book? Or are you going to get the book in your heart and let it keep you from sin? Now, the choice is yours. I set out to memorize Scripture. I found in the Scriptures, Psalm 119 says that this is something that I ought to do. Thy word have I hidden in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. I put it down. I got it down. I practiced it. I learned it. And I let it help me in my life. Why, that same passage, verse 16, look what he said. I'll delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Problem with you is you hear it and then you forget about it. The reason you forget about it is because you don't try to remember it. Well, you know how many times, you probably don't, but he said several times in Psalm 119, that same sort of a thing. Look at verse 83. Psalm 119, verse 83. He said, for I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. What'd he do? He wouldn't forget what the Lord had to say. 93. Look at 93. I will never forget thy precepts. I'll never forget them. How can he be so sure he'd never forget them? He'd hit him in his heart back in verse 11. It's the same guy writing. Said, I'll never forget them. Why? They're in my heart. I've hit them there. Psalm 119, verse 109. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. He wasn't going to forget it. 153, verse 153. Consider mine affliction. Look, in troubles and trials, this guy went through them. Well, how'd he get through them? Consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Look at verse 176. He puts a little stamp at the end of the whole chapter. Last verse. He says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Well, you hide God's word in your heart, it'll stick with you through thick and thin. Wherever you go in life, it'll be there. If you don't have an open Bible in front of you, God can bring these things to your remembrance. You ought to hide his word in your heart. You ought to commit it to memory. Go to Proverbs 2 quickly. Proverbs chapter 2, a few pages in front of where you're at. Proverbs 2. Now in Proverbs 2 and verse number 5, God tells us a wonderful result that we can have in our life if we'll do certain things. And in verse number 5, he says, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. I'd like to understand these things. I'd like to find the knowledge of God. Leading up to that, he said several things to do. Among those things, we'll pick it up in verse number 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. Here he hit it again. God said, hide his commandments with you. Hide them with you. What you ought to do is you ought to put them in your mind so that you can remember them. And then hopefully they'll sink down into your heart so they can get down here and lodge. But you've got to hide them with you. One of the ways you hide them with you is you put them up here where nobody can see up here. They're hidden. Nobody can look in your mind except for the Lord and see exactly what's in there. But if you'll hide it and help to gird up the loins of your mind with truth and put the Word of God in there, then that can help to keep you from sin, help you to understand the fear of the Lord. And some of you don't understand it. You sit here and you don't understand the fear of the Lord. We say, you ought to fear God. You say, well, I don't understand that. Why should I fear God? Well, if you want to understand the fear of the Lord, hide His Word with you. Do these things. He says, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. That is, you hide it with you and you get it there, and it helps you to apply the things that you've learned. You apply it in verse number 2. But in Psalm 119, verse 11, in Proverbs 2 and verse number 1, God tells you in both places you're to hide His Word with you. Go to Romans chapter 12. Very quickly now, Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. Verse number 1. Romans 12, verse number 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Watch it, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. Not supposed to be like this world now, if you're saved. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. There's a transformation that needs to take place in your life. And how does this transformation take place? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You're to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So many of the battles you fight are fought right up here. So many of the battles that God's people fight, they take place right in the deep recesses of their mind, right inside that little thing right there. You can feel the wheels turning, and you can fight the battles because that's where they're fought, right up here. Now you can wallow in the mire and complain that you're having such a tough time in life and there's no victory for you, or you can do something about it. And what I'm telling you today that you can do about it is memorize some Bible verses that will change your life, and you'd be amazed just how much it'd change your life. Transform your mind. Well, when I got saved, my mind needed, my whole body needed transforming. And I transformed it by renewing my mind. I put some new things in there, some new Bible verses in there. I remembered them. I memorized them. I set out. I worked at it. I mean, it didn't just happen automatically. I worked at it. And if you think it's going to happen automatically for you at this point, yeah, some of you, you're going to have to really work at it to get it down. But it can happen if you work at it. You can get it down. If you've got any semblance of discipline and character in your life, then you can discipline yourself and use your character to make you memorize the Word of God. And that will just increase your discipline and character as well. But he says you're to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. By memorizing Scripture, you can renew that mind, which will help to renew the way that you live. I began to transform my mind by the renewing of it, by memorizing Scriptures. I looked up verses in the Bible about the mind. I knew I needed help with my mind. I needed help in my thinking. I looked up verses in the Bible about my mind. I looked up Isaiah 26:3 about the mind, and I committed it to memory. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. I looked up these things, and I memorized. Look up Proverbs 16, verse 3. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. And I memorized it. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, I looked it up. It dealt with the mind. Boy, I said, man, that's something that I need. I committed to memory, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And I got them. I learned where they were. I learned what they said, and I memorized them so that it could help me out personally in my life. And then I found out that it benefited me in many other areas that I mentioned earlier as well. I want to show you how to do this. I'm not just going to tell you how to do it. I want to show you how to do it. So let me have my men come back again and pass out something else. Quickly now, quickly, double time. We got to hurry up here. Things to do, places to go, people to see, scriptures to memorize. Everybody, try to get everybody one of those. And on this page, you're going to see what resembles a 3x5 card. an index card. On the top, you'll see the side that's blank. As you get down here, you'll see the side that has lines on it. Now, I'm going to show you a real easy way you can memorize these things. And this will work. If you'll work this plan will work. Now, let's use this as a little worksheet. So on this thing, work with me on this now. Take and on the front side where it says front, on the top where it says, where it's blank, it says reference. We'll write on there, write Psalm 119, verse 11. Write it like that, or something like that. Psalm 119, verse 11. When you get that done, go to the bottom part that has lines, and we're going to write out that verse on the bottom. And you're going to write down, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." And copy it from your page if you're still in Psalm 119, or I'll tell it to you again. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart," comma after heart, "that I might not sin against thee." "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." So get that where you can write it down, where it's written down. So you have on the top side, the blank side, Psalm 119:11. On the bottom side of the index cards, you'll have the verse, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Now here's what you do. You get that thing, and you work with that thing. And you get to the place where you can say that thing one time without looking at it. You work at it. If it's a long verse, you might take it a section at a time. I might go, "All right, thy word have I hid in mine heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart." I check it. "Thy word have I hid in my heart." Okay, I'm sorry. "Thy word have I hid in my heart." Okay, all right, got it. And then I say, "That I might not sin against thee." "That I might not sin against thee." "That I might not sin against thee." Okay, I got it. I was putting them together. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." All right, that's right. You work at it till you get it down. All right? You work at it till you can say it without looking at it. And then what you want to do is on that place where you have the reference there, on that card there, you'll learn where to strategically locate the reference somewhere. You want to work on this. You want to take a day and work on this, and you take a few minutes. It won't take that long, but take a few minutes, and the first day that you work on it, which could be today, this afternoon, you know, after you're done reading the funny, or maybe before, or maybe instead. And you start to quote that thing, but when you quote it like this. You say the reference before the verse, then you quote the verse, then you say the reference after the verse. You count that at one time. Why do you do that? Because many people say, "Well, I know it's in the Bible, but I can't remember where it is." We're going to help you know it's in the Bible and remember where it is. So we'll say it like this. I'll go like this. I'll go Psalm 119, verse 11. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Psalm 119, verse 11. When I do that, I count that as one. And it makes me a little line. Then I do it again. Psalm 119, verse 11. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Psalm 119, 11. I count that as two. All right, try it with me. We'll say the reference first, the verse, and then the reference after. Psalm 119, 11. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Psalm 119, 11. Okay, good. Then we might make another mark. Now, we do that the first day 25 times. Now, you'll be surprised how long this doesn't really take. I mean, once you get down, it doesn't take that long. And then I set it down, just leave it alone. The next day, I pull them out again. I work on the same verse. And I do the same thing, except for I only do it 20 times. I pull it out the third day, and I keep decreasing it by 5 each day. So the third day, 15 times. The fourth day, 10 times. The fifth day, 5 times. After that, every day for the next week, I just pull it out and quote it once. Now, usually, sometime between here and here, a thought comes in my mind, something like, "I've got this verse memorized now. I don't need to keep doing this thing. I mean, I already got it down. I just forget about it." But I don't. I keep going through the process. Why? Because I help to forge it on my memory. Sometimes, I mean, you may have it down there. You ever cram for a test? Don't confess your sins now. You ever cram for a test? And I mean, last minute, you shove all the answers in your mind, and then you come take the test, and you get them all right, and then if you had to take the test again a week later, you wouldn't remember it? Did that ever happen to you? Shame on you. Better not be happening to us, you folks, today, because Bible is two classes now. But do you know why that is? Because you started your swing, but you didn't follow through. And what this does, it helps you to follow through. A baseball player, when he takes a swing, he doesn't go like this. Let the ball hit the bat. Well, it hit the bat. I may as well stop and let it fly. He goes and follows through. I mean, when he's over here, when he starts from here to here, the bat's not even on the ball. But he's got to finish it because of the thrust that he started right here. He's got to finish all the way through, and that helps him to get the full force. And if you'll finish and follow through, that'll help you get the full force and to etch it on your mind so that you won't forget it. And I'm here to testify, 18 years ago, I did that with some of these verses I've already quoted to you today, and they're still there. They're still there. So you do this 25 times the first day, 20 the second, 15 the third, 10 the fourth, 5 the fifth, and then once a day for the next week, and you have that verse down. Later on, maybe if you don't pay attention for a while, you might find maybe it does slip. Somebody might find that, but you'll be able to brush up on it real quick and get it down if you'll do that. And then on the other hand, you might find that it won't quit. It won't slip. I went to hear a preacher one time out in Rochester. His name was Dave Mizell. Dave Mizell is a good preacher, but he's got a physical disability. It's a central nervous system disorder that makes his muscles move involuntarily. And while he's sitting on the platform waiting to preach, you can see him kind of, dancing around a little bit like this, and see his hands going up like this, and you wonder, man, how can this guy get up and preach? But then he gets up behind the pulpit and preaches, and there's such a stately, godly possession about him. It's like he gets up there, and all of his faculties are in order at that point when I saw him. And he's got a command about him. He begins to talk in a normal tone of voice and speak. And he begins to speak, and as he preaches, Bible verses begin to come out, word for word, with a scripture reference that he's memorized. And it helped to transform his life and his mind and be able to preach. Though he was physically disabled, he memorized the scripture and got up and let God use him. You get Brother Mike Walsh comes up here and preaches, and all of a sudden you hear him rattling off Bible verses. He gives you the reference, and he quotes the Bible verse. Where does that come from? So he says, well, he just has a gift for memory. No, he works at it. He works at it. He memorizes those things. You'll hear me when I'm preaching. You'll hear me rattle off a verse. When I'm teaching, I'll rattle off a verse. Where'd they come from? I memorized them. I mean, I didn't just all of a sudden wake up after I was saved and know all these things. I work at it. But listen, it'll help you out. And memorizing scripture is not just for preachers. And memorizing scripture is not just for kids in Sunday school. And memorizing scripture is not just for kids in vacation Bible school. Memorizing scripture, listen, memorizing scripture is for every child of the young kids in the church. It's also for the older folks. Always thrilled when, many times this happens, Mrs. Hardigan, she goes down south for the winter. She lives up north during the summertime. Mrs. Hardigan was in the hospital one time. And in the hospital, going through a hard time, she decided to memorize some Bible verses. I don't know how many times I've talked with her and heard her quote those verses to me from Philippians chapter 4 that she memorized when she was in the hospital. I mean, she'll quote Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Or Philippians 4:19, I believe she quotes, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Man, she can give me one that I don't have down myself. She gives me, she'll quote 4:9, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." I mean, she'll quote those things. Now, Mrs. Hardigan, she's raised children. She is a grandmother. Her husband has died, but she's got Bible verses that she's memorized. What am I saying? I'm saying it ain't just for kids. It's for adults, too. It's for anybody. Brother Roloff was a very big advocate of scripture memorization. And on top of just memorizing verses, he would advocate memorization of scripture by chapter. By chapter. And when I went there to work, those kids came in the middle of it, and I didn't get it all down but on some of them. But they were working on memorizing scripture. I remember they were working on Isaiah 55. I mean, they're going through that thing, and we'd have scripture memorization in the afternoon. We have one of the leaders stand up there and lead them, and they'd go through it verse by verse till they could say that thing over and over again. They were working on Psalm 67. They worked on, God be merciful unto us and cause His face to shine upon us. That wasn't the whole thing, but I didn't get the thing down. But they were working on that thing. I heard them work on Romans chapter 6. And get that thing down to try to memorize it. He'd advocate the memorization of scriptures by the chapter, and it's a good thing to do. Before you die, I think you'd like to have maybe at least one verse, one chapter of scripture you might be able to quote. I've worked on more than one, but let me just show you. You can do it. Psalm 1. I mean, anybody can do Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not sober, like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And then go into Psalm 2, you know. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? I mean, you could change your life by putting something worthwhile in your mind that'll get in your heart, that'll help to guide you throughout your life. Went to pastor school a couple years ago, and they took one whole service, and all they did, just about, they had a guy that got up there and from memory quoted the book of Revelation. Now, I don't even plan to undertake such an undertaking. I'm afraid to. But he did that thing, and he quoted that thing. And some of our folks were here. Brother Mike was here, heard that thing. We got it on tape, I believe, in the video library. You ought to take a look and see it. And they break sometimes in between chapters and have some songs that pertain to it. But what a blessed time. By the time that thing was finished, I saw some folks that came in our group. I mean, they were standing up on their pew with their Bible in there. Woo! And God got in that thing. It's a blessed time in the Lord. I was at a watch night service one time, and a guy got up and quoted from memory Psalm 119. All 176 verses. When he was done, he went like this, all on the floor. Before he was done, I think several other people went like that. Good. Now I'm a little afraid to get into memorizing that much. I don't want it to become a novelty where I just do it to say, well, I memorized this or memorized that. And I'm not saying that that's why those folks did it, but I want things that are going to be pertinent to my life and pertinent to my heart, and that are going to help me. And I work to memorize to that end. But if you get that thing into your head and chew on it, let it sink down into your heart. Sometimes, by the way, sometimes you get a verse into your heart, but you don't have it memorized, but God speaks to you about it, and you ought to take that verse and you ought to memorize it. Many of the verses I memorize are verses that the Lord spoke to my heart about while I was reading my Bible. And I highlighted them or underlined them or marked them somehow, and then I committed them to memory because I said, man, there's a good verse. Or as I told you before, sometimes it was a verse that that dealt with a particular area in my life that I needed strength in. So I'd pick out that verse and I'd commit it to memory. And just give me a bunch of 3x5 cards. Matter of fact, let me have my friends again. And I want to at least supply you with the 3x5 card here today. Make sure you get at least one. And why don't you right now on that verse or on that place, why don't you find a verse that you would like to memorize? And now we won't take time for you to write out the whole thing, but on the blank side, write out the reference. Think of a verse that you would like to memorize. Maybe one that you have not memorized yet. Don't cheat and say, take one you already know. But find one. Think about it. What's a verse God's spoken to your heart about recently, maybe in your Bible reading? What's a verse that God's bringing to your mind you'd like to have down? What's a sin that you'd like to have victory over? Can you think of a verse like that? Can you think of, boy, if I had a verse I could quote, this is a verse. If you can think of one, go ahead and write that down. Now, if you can't think of one, try to find one maybe later on today. I'll take just a moment and let you do that. Thank you. Now, if you can't think of one, I'll give you one that you could. I'll give you one you could do. I already gave you Psalm 119, 11 right there. How about Proverbs 4:7, if you can't think of one? If you don't have that one memorized, that'd be a good one. Proverbs 4:7, right on that blank piece of paper. Now, somebody says, man, there's no way I can memorize. I just can't do it. I have a hard time. I heard the excuses. I just have a hard time with memorizing. Well, some people have a hard time giving up sin, but they're supposed to do it. Amen. If it's hard, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now I want to prove to you that you can memorize some things. I'll just take that piece of paper out that I gave you at the beginning. Take that piece of paper out. Now you should have written down there something like numbers 1 through 17. I want you to look at everything that you wrote down there. You pulled out a lot of things. Details. You pulled out some of your dates, addresses, zip codes, area codes, except for Mrs. Gorton, and phone numbers. You pulled out sequences of numbers and different things that were important to you. And you had those. You didn't look them up. You didn't have to pull out your driver's license to write down your address. You didn't have to go out and check your car to find out what color it was or what kind it was. You didn't have to pull out a picture of your house to find out. You didn't have to look on your marriage certificate to find out your wife's name. These are things that are dear to your heart that you have all stowed away right up here. You were able to answer probably most of those questions. Some of you were able to answer all of them. And you were able, some of you were able to pull out words of songs that you heard and memorized in order. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. How I wonder what you are. Up above the world so high, like a diamond in the sky, wrote down some of you. Others, I'm a little teacup pot. I'm a little, what is it, Mrs. Sandstrom? Pot, thank you. I'm a little teapot, short and stout. Here's my handle, here's my spout. And I get all steamed up, then I shout, just boop, tip me over and pour me out. And some of you got that stuff down. Now, how is it that you have those things memorized? Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water. Jack fell down and broke his crown, and Jill came tumbling after. You worked on them and heard them over and over again when you were younger, and they stuck, and now they're there. Now, I'm telling you something. You can work on these things however old you are, and you can memorize scriptures, and you can get them down. I'll tell you two more things and I'm done. Number one, this would be, memorizing scriptures would be a good thing for you and your family to do during a family devotional time. That'd be a good, you could work on a verse together. You get the family together and work on memorizing a Bible verse and then another one and then another, or a chapter together. That'd be a good thing for you to do, dads, to lead your families in family devotion time and just work on memorizing scripture together. And you could all keep up at the same pace in that particular one that you're working on. Now turn, if you're in your Bible, got your Bible handy, turn quickly if you can to Philippians 4. I'll show you one more verse and we're done before the invitation. It's Philippians chapter 4. And verse number 8. Here's your admonition from the Lord. Philippians 4, verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Let me skip to the end of that verse and show you what he's going to tell you to do. He's going to say, think on these things. Now, what I'm telling you is memorizing verses can help you to think on the things he's about to tell you about. Whatsoever things are true. Is the Bible true? Amen. You're supposed to think on it. Yeah. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17, verse 17. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. Hard to find honest things today. Is the Bible an honest book? Amen. Think on it. Whatsoever things are just. Does the Bible promote justice? Is it a just book? Think about it. Whatsoever things are pure. Is the Bible a pure book? The words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times, he said in Psalm 12. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Whatsoever things are lovely. Well, if you don't know anything, you ought to know that this thing is a lovely book. It is altogether lovely. Your Savior is the altogether lovely one, and this is his book. The altogether lovely book. Whatsoever things are lovely, it's a beautiful book. Whatsoever things are of good report, there's good reports in here. If there be any virtue, you can get virtue out of this book. If there be any praise, you can learn how to praise and get praise for God out of this book. He said, think on these things. I'm here to tell you that by memorizing Bible verses and Scripture, you can get things in your mind so that you can think like God wanted you to think. It'll change your life. It'll transform your life. It'll help you. It'll help you in every area of your life. It'll improve. I'm telling you, the words of God can improve your physical health, your spiritual health, your mental health, give you power in preaching, victory over sin, many other things I mentioned to you at the beginning of this message. And what you ought to do is you ought to decide today, many of you that haven't been doing it, maybe all of you, I don't know, but you ought to maybe all you haven't been doing, but if you have not been doing it, you ought to decide today that by the grace of God, I'm going to be obedient to the Scriptures and hide God's commandments with me and hide God's words with me. Say one last thing, parents. Some of your kids can probably quote more Bible verses than you, and that ought to shame you, and it ought not to be so. How can you expect to lead them spiritually if you're not further ahead of them spiritually? Memorize the Word. Memorize it. Memorize it. Memorize it. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee.